Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. So good to be with you once again. Welcome to the place that you will find everything you need to have the cleaning company that you've always wanted, maybe even the cleaning company that you deserve. If you would like to be a guest on the show, if you have questions for me, if you'd like to hire me to speak at your next event, all of those go through our producer, Natalie. You can get a hold of her at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com. Of course, if you're old fashioned, you can always give us a call, 480-648-5149. Do it now. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Veronica Corona from CM Cleaning Solutions. CM has been serving the greater Los Angeles area with commercial cleaning services for 7 years. If you want to reach out to Veronica and her team, you can get a hold of them at www.cmcleaningsolutions.com. Veronica, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
So excited to get to know you and your business. Tell us about how did you come to get into the cleaning business?
Well, I started in the industry about 16 years ago. I was called by a manager from a previous company that they were looking for a benefits coordinator. And that's how I started in the industry. I was a benefits coordinator for a large company here in Los Angeles. I did training, safety training. I handled all the general liability and workers' comp claims. And then I was promoted to customer service and quality control, which that helped me get out on the field and learned the industry, like how to keep it clean in the buildings and start relationships with customers. From there, I was promoted to branch manager for the Los Angeles area. And I was a branch manager for about 2-3 years. And we grew the company. We grew our branch. We were one of the largest branch for the entire company. This company had offices in Orange County, the Inland Empire, Northern California, San Diego, Utah, Arizona, Colorado, Texas. And I was based out of Los Angeles and one of the few women as branch managers. It's a very male-dominated industry, so I was very proud of that. During my time at this company, I was recognized in all the positions I held. Lastly, before leaving, I was in business development, fancy word for sales. I did sales for 2 years, and I was the top salesperson for the 2 years that I was there. And that's how I landed in this business, and 7 years ago, decided to go the entrepreneurial route and opened up my own company.
Yeah, so it sounds like you were having a tremendous success kind of in the corporate world, in the cleaning universe. What made you decide to take the leap and go at your own?
Well, what happened was I left that company and went to work for another company where I was not very happy. Things didn't turn out the way I thought they were, and I really went because it was more money. It was a better opportunity. And in the process of being there and resigning, I had a customer who talked to me. We started talking, and I told her what was going on. She wanted to give me a building. And she said, the only reason I'm giving you this building is because I don't even like your boss. Wow. And that changed my world. That changed everything because I realized, wow, customers are doing business because of me. So that was a very big lesson. You know, everybody's doing business with me because of me, not because of the company I'm working necessarily. And with the encouragement of my business partner, I do have a business partner. His name is Mauricio. With his encouragement, before you knew it, we started a business, and here we are 7 years later.
Well, that's awesome. So I love that story. I hope you buy that that one client that told you they do business with you in spite of your boss a bottle of wine every Christmas.
Oh, you know what? I take care of her every Christmas and every birthday.
That a girl, love it.
Very awesome. Good relationship with her.
So how you've been doing it 7 years, you're in Los Angeles. How many employees do you have so far?
We have 47 employees. We're out here in the greater Los Angeles area, out in Orange County, in Riverside, San Bernardino, and the great San Fernando Valley. So we're pretty spread out. We go wherever our customer takes us.
Man, I got to say, for 7 years, growing to nearly 50 employees, that's an awesome accomplishment. I'm so honored to have you on the show today.
Thank you. It's been a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice, but it's been worth it.
So funny. Rarely do I have successful people on the show that go, you know what? I just wake up every day and do a tiny bit of work with no stress, and my business is huge. It's almost always the opposite of, it was a lot of work, and I you know, blood, sweat, and tears, but it's just like you said, absolutely worth it in the fulfillment department. All right. That said, Veronica, A, thank you for sharing your story with us. It was fascinating. B, I would like to contribute any way I can. What's going on in your business that I can help you with today?
One of the things today, I feel that we're like a little stuck in the growth part of it. You know, I get a lot of opportunities to provide proposals, and I put a lot of proposals on. There's several proposals that I've had been working back and forth for a year. I do a lot of follow-up, and I know they haven't made a change. And I always wonder, like, why haven't you made a change? I know that I gave them a good price. They tell me, I like your price. You know, we'd like to get started soon, but soon is, you know, could be a year and nothing's happening. So just kind of like always feel like, what else can I do to pursue that a little bit more and say, you know, I'm ready when you are. I've been ready.
Man, I am really excited about that question. For those of you who listen to the show, while you hear me say a lot, the quality of question the owners asks is almost always directly correlated with the success that they have in business. If you're asking dumb questions, and I shouldn't say dumb questions, it sounds really judgy, but if you're asking kind of low impact questions, you're going to get low impact answers and low impact focus and low impact results. And when you're asking very specific questions that can have a high impact, you're going to get those high impact results. So that said, this is going to be an awesome episode. Unlike the rest, which are junk, this is the one. Just kidding, for everyone out there that, you know, doesn't get jokes, that was a joke. All right. So what I hear you saying, Veronica, is, man, I get people to call me out there. They tell me that they're frustrated, they've got issues, and I give them a bid. I know the bid's competitive. And then a month, a year, eternity later, they're still with that same company. They haven't made a change. What am I doing wrong? How can I fix this? Are we on the same page?
Yes.
All right. Let's dive in. First of all, so many people try and fix it at the back end, which is the absolute worst time to handle. So after the sales process has been done, once you hand them that bid, and I said hand and not email them, not you, Veronica, but that's a huge pet peeve of mine is, we just emailed it over. Yeah, okay, that's the way we're going to do business. Once you hand them that bid, or more importantly, do a presentation and walk them through that bid, the power shifts. So many people, and you can tell me if you've found this, Veronica, not just in your current company, but when you're doing business development for the corporate companies, find that when you're in that process of walking through with them, determining what they need, putting together the numbers, getting them what they need, they call you back, they email you back, they're very responsive. As soon as you give them that bid, all of a sudden it goes into hide and seek mode where you're calling them and you're chasing and they're hiding. Do you ever run into that, Veronica?
Oh, yes. That's exactly what I'm running into now.
Okay. This is coming from a guy who's sold and managed sales teams for a lot of years. So I'm absolutely been there and experienced that with you. So that said, let's not try and fix it when they're in hide and seek mode, right? At that point, it's all but lost. I can give you some tools to help resurrect it, but that's by far the hardest way to fix it. The easiest way to fix it is to build the foundation right from the beginning of that relationship, and then it just naturally goes in progress. So let's talk about that. First of all, we've got to have what I call ground rules, and we've talked about this in other episodes, and there are ground rules before you even go out on an appointment. So, and I'm guessing you already do, maybe you don't have the nomenclature, the name for it, but I'm guessing you already do this piece of it in your company now, Veronica. When someone calls in and says, hey, I've got a 3,000 square foot house and I'd like a cleaning every week, you probably say, well, that's not what we do. We're commercial, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. So, and I'm guessing if they have a commercial building and they're like, well, it's, you know, 500 square feet and we want someone out here once a month, you would also say, that's not what we do, right?
There's,
you're not our customer. So the first thing you've got to do is, understand who your customer is. So many of you guys are going on too many bids and talking to people that aren't your customers. So make sure that you're spending time with your customers. The second thing you're going to do is set ground rules for the appointment. So before you come out, you've got to understand, what is it you're looking to accomplish? How long will we have? What is your goal for the call? What would you like to see happen? If for whatever reason you don't think we're a good fit, would you be comfortable telling me that? And let me just walk you through that. So if you were inviting me out to do a job walk on your building, Veronica, once I determine that you were my ideal prospect, and if you're not, the conversation's over, right? If you're residential or too small or too big or whatever reason you don't fit my profile, I'm not going to come out there, period. Once I've determined you are a customer that I can help and you are in my profile, I'm going to say, hey, Veronica, would it be okay if once I got out there, if you didn't think I was a good fit, would you feel uncomfortable just telling me that?
Ooh, that's a good one. Yes.
It's a great one. And you'll get 100% of the time. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that would be fantastic. And then you turn it around. Now, if for whatever reason I get out there and it sounds like we're okay now, but I just don't think we're going to be the best folks to help you and get the results that you want, I get embarrassed. But would you give me permission to tell you I don't think we're a good fit? 100% of the time, they're going to say, yeah, of course. Right? Who's going to say no to that?
Right.
Then your next question is, here's where the magic comes. All right, if I get out there and you think that we're an awesome fit and you're not able to disqualify me, and I think that we're going to be able to accomplish your goals for you, what would you like to see happen next? That's the question I ask all the time. What would you like to see happen next? Very different from, I want you to sign a contract and I'm going to get going on. And I, they couldn't care less about, as lovely as you are, Veronica, they don't care what you want, but they're infinitely interested in what they want. So when you say, what would you like to see happen next? One of two things is going to happen. One, they're going to go, well, we'll get started. What do you mean? What do you want? We're going to sign you up. That's fine. The other is they're going to give you information that you desperately need that your competitors do not have. And up until today, you've not had. Something like, well, we've got to take it to the board. Great. When does the board meet? How often? What's going to happen? Let's be specific. Mm-hmm. That information is going to be awesome. So if they go, well, we got to take it to the board. Boom, I immediately whip out a third-party story. Oh, gosh, Veronica, thank you so much for sharing that. You may or may not know this. I've been doing this a while, and I have had so many customers that had bad experiences. Do you mind if I share a story? They're always going to listen to a story. No one's ever going to tell you no. Yeah, sure. Well, I've had a customer just to, and it obviously be true. Don't make up a lie, but you've been doing this 7 years, Veronica. You've had this story. Who had a board meeting. And what happened is we went out, we did a job walk, and everybody came. And the person in your position, gosh, they had to spend 40 hours putting this together. And this isn't fun work. They didn't enjoy it, but they desperately needed to get this fixed. And then they went to the board, and guess what? The board wanted this, that, and the other, and they started the whole process all over again with the person that they wanted. And the person in your position, Veronica, was so frustrated. They were miserable with the whole thing. What I wish I could have shared with them, and what ended up happening is, had we just started with the board, your job would be so much easier. And she said, man, I wish if I could do this again, I would have just had, you know, Veronica out at the beginning with the board and we could have just got it handled. Would it make sense for me to present at the board and make sure I answer everybody's questions at once as opposed to just coming out? Do you see how that's now you're changing the entire conversation and dynamic?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Okay. And I just made up the board, but you definitely want to hear that, you know, what would you like to see happen next? If it's anything other than, well, we'll get you started. What do you mean? What would you like to see happen next? That's don't be disappointed. That's information you desperately need that you haven't been getting. So that's the upfront contract. Before you give them the bid, always before, never after. Once it's after, all this is out the window. You can't do anything. Before you give them the bid, you've got to understand their decision-making process. So when you're on the job walk, there's two things that you've got to get. And if you don't get, the first one is absolutely necessary. And the second one will fix the problem that you've got today. The first one is their true pain. A lot of times it's, and you've done this long enough, I'm sure you're getting it, whether you know to call it pain or not, you're doing this. Why do they have you out there? And you know as well as I do, it's not price. It's not the kind of superficial things. And not that price has no bearing, but that's not it, right? They're not just saying, I'm going through all this work because we're spending $4,200 a month and I think we can get it done for $3,700 a month. They just, at that level, they know that's not the case. Go ahead.
Oh, no. It's always the quality of work. It's always because of the quality of work.
Okay. So let me push back on that a little bit. I would argue that the quality of work is closer to their pain than lower price, right? And they're always going to say, I just want the best work for lowest price. Okay, fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what they tell you, but you're knowing, well, that's probably not the whole truth. Not that they're lying, maybe they are, but a lot of it's just they haven't really thought it through, so they just kind of tell you what they're trained to tell you. And your job as a salesperson is to really get through the truth so you can help them, right? If you don't know what their real pain is, you can't help them. So they'll tell you, I just need, it's quality of work and we want it cheap. That's my pain. The reality is it's not the quality of work. So you'd ask some questions. Well, tell me about that, Veronica. Well, the people didn't come in and we had the VP from, you know, regional coming in and the place looked like crap and I looked stupid. Oh my goodness. So be more specific. So if they're not specific, get a specific example like that. How did that make you feel? Oh my gosh, I did this and this and this. And, you know, my job's already on, you know, they're doing downsizing and I'm afraid I'm going to be it. Wow, what would happen if you did get downsized? Oh my God, I've got two kids in college and I can't pay that bill. Do you see how this is pain? Now we're talking about my kids not going to college because of this. That's a very different conversation of I need the quality of work is no good. So the quality of work is just something they vomit out that really doesn't mean anything because that's what they're trained to do. As a professional business development or salesperson, you need to know better to get their real pain. Is that, do you see the distinction between quality of work is no good and the VP came out and I look stupid and I'm already worried about my job and I got two kids in college. You see how those are two very different conversations?
Yes, definitely. I like that. Yes.
Okay. It is. I'll give you one last thing and then we'll move because I can't, we can't go on forever. So the last thing is you've told me, or you didn't tell me, but I'm getting, and I'm going to help walk you through. So you go, God bless it. Why didn't I talk with Mike a while back? So your frustration, I hear it, your pain is we do all this work and it's not that they don't like me. I would be fine if they said, I don't like you, Veronica. You're too expensive. I don't like the look of your face. I don't think you can do the work. Anything like that, it might hurt your feelings a little, but you'd be like, fine, right? That's fine. We're going to go with a different company. You'd be fine with that. You just don't like you're awesome, Veronica. You're the best. This price is fair. I think you can do the work. Everything's great. And goodbye. You're like, what? How did that happen?
To get started.
Exactly. You're like, either tell me yes or tell me no. So just those questions we went over at the beginning is going to help that. If I come out and you don't think we're fit, will you just tell me that? And then if I don't think you're fit, will you just tell me? And then that my favorite super sneaky question, if we're not able to disqualify another, what would you like to see happen next? Very hard for them to tell you. Well, then we're going to sign you up and then not sign you up. So that's kind of the ground rules that you're going to set. And at the end, you've got to get their decision-making process. How do they do that? So you're going to ask questions like, after I give you the bid, what's going to happen? And again, tell a third-party story. You know what happens is I give the bid and then people all of a sudden stop returning my calls. And I don't know, did I offend them? Did I screw up? Did I say something bad about their family and not recognize what happened? And they'll go, oh, no, that I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do, oh, thank you for saying that because, I want to make sure that I help you. And we agreed earlier that if you don't think I'm a fit, you'll just let me know. We're not a fit, right? Oh, yeah, that's it. So you kind of remind them of the ground rules that you set, and then you ask them about their decision-making process. So after I give you that bid, because I'm not, quite frankly, don't have time to chase you, and you probably don't have a lot of desire to hide from me, let's just agree what's going to happen. And then we'll do that. And then you get them to invite you to call them at a certain time and a certain date. So it's not this forever calling, just you trying to get a hold of them and hiding. And if they're not willing to do that, oh, just give me the bid and don't call us, don't call you, I wouldn't bid.
Yeah, I like this.
I will
only
give a bid if they give me a commitment of what's going to happen. And you're not pressuring them, right? You're not saying, bye, 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 bye. You're saying, I'm investing my time and my life energy that I could be with my kids or doing something else in you and your building and solving your pain. And I'm doing it at no charge. And I'm happy to do that. But the price of admission, the price to ride, is we're just going to be honest with each other. If I don't think we're a good fit, I'll tell you that. And if I think someone else can do a better job, I'll give you their name and number. I'm that committed to your success, but you have to be at least as committed to your success as I am and be clear with me about what's going to happen. We just need to follow the rules, the ground rules that we set now. Does that all make sense and something you're comfortable with?
Oh, yes, definitely. I love this. Thank you so much.
You can tell I get really passionate about this. This is one of my favorite parts of business.
I'm
going to give you one last thing, and then we're going to hit the lightning round because I've been talking way too much. The last thing is when we're talking about pain, one of the pains that you discovered, but I don't think you identified it as clearly as I want to help you identify it right now, is they have obviously a pain to switch, right? They tell you, I don't like the guy I have now or gal. I do like you, but I'm not going to switch. So either they're lying to you, which doesn't sound like it's the case, right? I truly believe that they don't like the other guy, and I truly believe they like you. Are those both fair assumptions?
Yes.
Okay, so instead of, it's pretty clear, well, then there must be something in that switching process that is painful to them. Is that fair?
Yeah, that is fair. That's fair.
Yeah, let me take it a step further. If they could wave a magic wand, and you would just be in the account. You had the keys, you had the alarm code, everything was up to speed, the billing was, everything was just done at the price that you said, and they could just wave the wand with zero work on their end. They wouldn't have to call and have a difficult conversation with their old cleaner who they probably like, right? They probably don't want to do that. Do you think 90% more of the people that say they like you, right? If they tell you, I don't, for whatever reason, we're not a fit, so be it. But the ones that you're getting this pushback from of, I love you, but I'm not going to do anything, do you think 90% of them would switch tomorrow if you could just hand them a magic wand and they didn't have to do any of the work and you were just magically in and the other guy was out and there was none of that work for them?
Yes, I sure would.
Well, let's just create. Yeah. That, so see how we're thinking about what their real pain is. That's why that pain I kept hitting on. It's not on quality of work. It's I don't want to have to talk to Manuel, who I've been dealing with for 5 years, and I consider kind of a friend, and he's doing a sloppy job. There's more pain in that conversation than cleaning up after him every couple of days. You see that's their real pain. When you think their real pain is, we got to understand their pain. If you don't understand their pain, first of all, if there's no pain, there's never a sale. Don't even waste your time. If there is pain and you don't understand it and can't solve it, there's no sale. When there is pain and you can't solve it, you have to be able to communicate to them that you can solve it. So if I woke up in your shoes or we were working one-on-one, the first thing I would do is create a plan. I would create that magic wand for them. I would put together the 7-step, no pain, 36-minute on your part transition program. And I would have a deal where I called the other cleaner and had that conversation with them. And I would have a deal with every time we switch, we change all of your locks for you, no extra charge. And we do all the alarm codes and we get the old guy's stuff out and take it back to him. We put our stuff in. I would bend over backwards. So it was no problem. I would create that magic wand for them where they just told me to go. And I kind of handled everything to the degree that I could handle it. Does that make sense?
Yes, I like that. Magical lift.
The good thing is not only we're recording this, so I know I talk really fast and you're probably in the moment. So you can listen to your own podcast and go, wow, I sounded amazing. And then, of course, get better notes as opposed to trying to take them on the fly. All right. That's probably more than enough for today, but you got me fired up with a solid question. Let's hit the lightning round. We're going to give you the opportunity to give some of your value and experience to Cleaning Nation. 3 simple questions. You're going to give 3 quick, amazing answers. Question number 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received in or out of the cleaning business?
That we are in the people business, not the cleaning business. Always take care of your people, meaning your employees.
Love it. That's a writer down or Cleaning Nation. If you're taking notes, write that down. Question number 2, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that maybe we can learn from?
Not always listening to our employees because they have valuable feedback.
Okay. So listening to your employees is what's working. Not listening is what's not worked for you.
Correct.
Perfect. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice today before their head hits the pillow that will improve either their lives or their business or both?
I want to say always be grateful for what we have.
Gosh, that's a nice one because it's not just a business thing, although it will absolutely help you in business. And I actually did an awesome, one of my favorite podcasts is the one we just did on Thanksgiving. But man, that will improve your life better than probably anything we've talked about. We talked about some pretty exciting things today. Veronica, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your passion and your story and your experience. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. When you want to check out Veronica's show notes page and, of course, get everything you need to grow your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.